Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano, and Steve Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
It was a lot of fun having Coach Mike Godfrey on with us.
Man, I really enjoy that. Now, he's been here before. It's been 6 or 7 years, but he is just an great speaker and all those kind of things, but what a heart.
A storyteller.
Yes.
And, you know, when you've got decades and decades in coaching, I guess it's like a lot of other professions. You've got 1,000 stories you can tell.
It's not like being in accounting for 20 years. You know what I'm saying? Where you've got all kinds of wild stories, but you're a coach. You're going to have
I don't know if that's considered a compliment or an insult to accounting professionals.
They would probably be the first to admit.
They know you're telling the truth.
They're telling the truth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not exactly wild and crazy every day.
Right.
Anyway, those stories.
Emotions running high. You don't have that in the accounting department.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell that story
That's
later.
Why that – there was a series of ads back, I don't know, 10 years ago. I think it was at ESPN. I don't remember. Remember they had some guy who was the office linebacker, and he would tackle people for
I remember that.
You remember that?
They have great commercials.
He would tackle ESPN people for doing things the wrong way, not putting the lid down on the copier or something. This guy, this big old guy, would come and sack the guy. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's what's funny about accounting departments and offices. There's not a whole lot of that going on. Not really.
I doubt there's any of it, actually.
You know what I like? My favorite stories in sports and life, I guess. Who among us doesn't love the underdog stories, right?
Right.
Are the stories of, I can't believe they said they would never make it and here they are.
Yes.
Stories. I mean, those make... Right. 1,000 movies have been made on that
theme.
Theme. And I'll tell you one story I heard, Steve and Ed, while you're here.
Yeah.
And you don't have anywhere.
Are you going somewhere, Ed?
And you don't have anywhere to go. I don't know if I should name the school. This is a story I heard, and I'm sure this is so I can't vouch for it because I wasn't there, but it makes for a good story anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, back in the late 80s, I guess it was, I had a friend who was a grad assistant at Mississippi State on their football program. And this is how he tells the story. He tells that they were having a staff meeting, like all college football staffs do, about how to recruit. So the various coaches have different geographical areas that they're responsible for.
Right.
Right? So... They come to the fella, the coach, who's responsible for the Mississippi Gulf Coast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because Mississippi State University, they're recruiting the Gulf Coast. And the assistant coach says, well, we got, you know, got 2 or 3 players down here, and one of them's a quarterback. You're not going to believe this guy. And the head coach, supposedly the story goes, well, we've already got 2 quarterbacks committed in this class. We don't need another quarterback, okay? So, I'm sorry, he may be great, but we really don't have room for him on our scholarship list here. So the assistant coach goes, but you don't, coach, you don't understand. This guy can throw a football through a brick wall.
Yeah.
Okay. And I really think we need to sign him. And the head coach goes, well, that may be true, but no. We're going to pass. Next coach. Coach, what do you got?
Yep.
Went on to the next coach. Well, the head coach went back to the guy and said, well, what was the kid's name anyway that you're saying we need to sign? He said, Brett Favre.
Brett Favre?
Brett Favre. But what my point is, the guy, but you know what? The story goes that Brett Favre did not get but like one Division I scholarship offer for football. He was a great baseball player.
Yeah.
but he played, but for football, Southern Miss,
yeah,
University of Southern Mississippi offered him a football scholarship, and they were the only Division I school to offer it. Well, now here we are, what, 30 years removed from that,
yeah,
or something like that, and he's a Hall of Fame NFL quarterback.
Yeah,
you know, who set, who's
Super Bowl winner,
Super Bowl winner, but that's just one of those stories where, you know,
it's like the coach that passed on me.
Well, there you
right.
go.
Who knows? Who knows what could have happened?
Jerry Rice went to Mississippi Valley State, so a lot of big schools passed on him.
Yeah, yeah. He was the greatest wide receiver ever.
Ever.
But he went from 5'10 to 6'2 in college.
Yeah.
Oh. That's what happened there.
Okay.
He went 5'10 when he left high school, 6'2 when he gets out, and also he goes to a place where they throw a pass every down.
Yes, that's true.
So that helped him. But anyway, I love those stories of you know, no names becoming Hall of Famers. You
yeah.
know? And Mike had more of those stories too. He could share maybe next time when he's on with us. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. And Steve, good morning to you again. And what do you have leading us off here?
Well, let's
morning?
Talk. We've got these hearings going on, and we should just kind of touch on
let's
what's happening.
Let's dig in, Steve.
We don't have to spend a lot of time on it.
Okay,
I know you guys did listen to a little bit from yesterday, I guess it was. No, earlier this morning. Well, it depends on who you listen to. Today's testimony is either nothing new or a bombshell that will end the Trump presidency. I actually saw a representative, a congressional Democrat, tweet out, this is it. This is the end of the Trump presidency. And, oh, by the way, it looks like we will probably have a shot at impeaching Vice President Mike Pence, too. So you're just inviting Nancy Pelosi to the Oval Office, if you're that. So
wow.
The key you heard before is this.
Now, I think, hold on, Steve.
Yep.
I think we need to give the Democrats the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
I think if Donald Trump were gone, they would be happy to start a friendship with Vice President Pence in a good, refreshing new way.
Yes.
And reset the relationship. Don't you, Ed?
Oh, yeah, and make Washington a functional environment rather than
right.
the current dysfunctional environment.
Right.
I agree, Tim. I think that's what the Democrats have in mind.
They just want to get rid of Donald Trump, and then they would hold hands gladly with
yes.
Mike Pence to make America better.
Well, at least good again.
Betterer.
Yeah.
Betterer.
Huh? Betterer. No. They hate Mike Pence probably worse than they hate Donald Trump if he were next man up, as they say, because he's a Christian. They hate President Trump for his policies and because he fires back at them.
He hits back.
He hits back, and they don't like that.
How
dare you hitting us back?
Yeah.
We're the media.
Yeah.
We're the elite Democrats. You don't hit us back.
Right.
You understand? And he goes, I don't care. I'm going to hit you back anyway, talking about President Trump.
And then I'm going to hit you again. And then I'm going to tweet about it.
Right. Then I may kick you in the knee. I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
So, Brett Baer. No, it was who's the reporter at Fox? The John Roberts, I think it was, called the president Sir Tweets a Lot. Sir Tweets a Lot.
Sir Tweets a Lot. Accurate.
All right. Next story.
Let's talk a little bit down here. Ah, we had a report that came out a couple days ago. It turns out erroneously that 100,000 children are in migration-related U.S. detention. 100,000 kids.
This was reported where?
It was reported by the Agence France-Presse, by the Associated Press, by National Public Radio, by Reuters. And it was quoting a United Nations document, and they just trumpeted the headline.
Sure.
And it got all kinds of play until.
And of course they.
Because they were trying to make President Trump look bad.
Because they blamed this on Trump.
Yes, they
sure
did.
He's a terrible guy.
Yeah, he's holding all these children down there on the border in record numbers. And that's Trump's fault.
That's right. Forcing him to drink out of toilets.
Except that.
The United Nations corrected itself and said, I'm sorry, these numbers are from 2015.
Which, who was the president then?
That would have been Barack Hussein Obama.
Oh.
So what they then did was they all went and said, well, then this was disgusting on President Obama's part, and we're gonna go after
him.
And mercilessly.
Biden. Yes. And Biden.
Yeah. And no, it's right, and Joe Biden.
It just kind of disappeared.
Yes.
No, yeah, what they did was, you need we're
unbelievable.
We put the story on, okay, go to Facebook. If you our Facebook page, we posted this story that Steve's just talking about. I was reading this last night. I was laughing my head off because you know who used this number? Again, this was a figure put out by the United Nations that 100,000 children are in migration-related U.S. detention. 100,000. And before the Democrats and the news media think this is current. And so this is President Trump, and this is how evil and wicked he is. And so they condemned him with tweets. And even the this doesn't have the part the National Democrat Party, in their official tweet, they went after President Trump. And then a few hours later, it was reported that this was from the Obama administration years, and the Democrat Party deleted the tweet.
Yes.
Oops.
They deleted it. They removed it.
Joking about this and being kind of sarcastic.
And the media, too.
But this kind of dishonesty
is
why nobody respects the mainstream media unless they are feeding you the porridge you like.
And this is why President Trump calls them the fake media and fake news.
Fake news, the enemy of the people, he says.
This happens over and over and over and over again.
Right.
The liberal news media in this country are in the tank for the Democrats. They hate Trump just more than the Democrat Party does.
Right.
So they're trying to go after him. And again, I'm not saying there aren't legitimate reasons to criticize President Trump here and there and on policy and his actions and where everything else. But these people they're not fair-minded at all. They get up every morning after having dreams about taking down President Trump. They get every morning with how can we make him look bad?
Right.
Because we don't want him to survive politically, and we certainly don't want him to win. So, hey, here's one. Hey, did anybody see this? Just came out.
United Nations.
United Nations says Trump's holding 100,000 Mexican children down there on the border, probably in cages. Let's go with it.
Yeah.
So they fire this off, get this out there, and then that's just so funny. And then a couple hours later, the United Nations goes, oops.
Yeah.
This is from 2015 when Obama and Biden were in control.
Right.
And as you say, Ed, they don't say, well, we should shift the blame then to Obama and Biden and put the spotlight on them. They just simply delete it and don't want to talk about it anymore because it doesn't help them in their cause to bring down Trump.
Perfectly stated.
Very well. Very
That's
good.
Why I'm here, guys. That's why I'm here. Okay, next story, Steve.
Well, I got a story of a 16-year-old boy that they've arrested at the border. He was using a remote-controlled car to smuggle $100,000 worth of meth across the U.S.-Mexican border.
A remote control? You mean the things kids get for Christmas?
The RC car, except this one was a little bigger. It was probably a yard long and everything.
What's the range for those?
Well, enough so that he could drive it to someone sitting on the other side of the border who loaded up
the bags.
Oh, I
see what you're saying. There's somebody waiting on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay.
So no human being is actually taking it across.
No, the car is taking it across.
So that's a way to try to not get arrested but still deliver the goods.
Well, he was arrested.
Yes.
He's 16.
To belabor the point here, but to take away from the main point here, but a car, I'm trying to envision, we're talking about a remote-controlled little children's car.
I'll pull up a picture of it and we can
like a small plane you see people out playing with out in the field.
I don't know what the size of it, but it's got to be big enough to get significant amount of drugs across.
It was just the chassis that he was using
of a real car.
No, of a remote control car, an RC car. But again, the it was bigger than the little things you see, and I can't get online.
That's all right. You can show us later. We trust you on that. I would like to know how big the car is.
There you go. There's a picture of it right there.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Producer Brett.
It's about 3 or 4 feet long.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a little car you see kids playing in the driveway with.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's so that you can remote control it and it takes it across the border and delivers drugs.
Well, it picks up drugs and then it brings it back.
Okay.
And then so this 16-year-old kid, when it was 2 in the morning, it was 12:30 in the morning, Border Patrol sees him. He sees that he's been caught. He tries to hide in some bushes. They get him. He has a duffel bag that contains 50 packages of narcotics. It weighed over 55 pounds and had a street value of $106,096. So they got him. Well, it's not the only place that we have a problem with methamphetamines. South Dakota is having a problem with methamphetamines. And in fact, oh, you know what? I didn't have that sound. They have a new new campaign that's on it. Do you still have, Brent, from yesterday, the South Dakota clip? excuse me. I wanted to play you a bit of this PSA and what they're doing there in South Dakota. It is it has a little bit of delicious irony to it, I think. This is the governor of South Dakota, and her name is Kristi Noem. She's a Republican. And listen to this. This is the ad that she put out.
I'm Governor Kristi Noem. South Dakota's meth crisis is growing at an alarming rate. It impacts every community in our state, and it threatens the success of the next generation. This is our problem, and together we need to get on it.
So they have a new campaign called Meth, We're On It.
And we talked about it in our story meeting. I said, is that just a goof up that's accidental? No, you said that is done on purpose.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of startling.
Right.
Because you say, Meth, we're on it. Do you guys realize what you're saying?
Yeah.
And they're going, yes, we realize
we
it. We're trying to catch your attention.
That,
and I guess they succeed.
And there's too many people that actually are on it,
right,
in North Dakota, in South Dakota, she says. And it's a problem that she just worded that they want to be on top of. They're on it. You know,
yeah.
Would you get me a sandwich? I'm on it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Right.
So
it's a double meaning.
It is a double entendre, but kind of a clever one if you think about it.
Well, in terms of getting people's attention, that's an attention grabber.
Mm-hmm.
So that all opens the door for a conversation, and nothing wrong with that in terms of cutting through the white noise of our culture. Getting a discussion going.
Yeah, so good on her, and I hope that they're successful in the campaign.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the program. Tim, Ed, and Steve. By the way, Steve and Brent Creeley is our producer. Steve, what effort have you or our news department made in reaching out to Chick-fil-A for comments?
Chris Woodward has been on diligent at trying to get a spokesperson for Chick-fil-A so that we can peg some questions at them. He was told that someone would call back, but they haven't and probably will not. But we are continuing to try to reach out to Chick-fil-A.
And we wanted a representative to come on this program. We invited Brent. You tried to reach out.
Yeah, I reached out yesterday to the corporate office, and much like what Steve and Chris are experiencing is what they told me. They phone rang, went to voicemail, and they said someone would get back with you in 24 hours. And
has it been 24 hours?
It has been 26, 27 hours now.
Yeah, I'm sure they've been inundated, but at the same time, a corporation that large,
mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hopefully they'll get back to us and we give them an opportunity to come on the program, come on American Family Radio in regard to this story we've been talking about the last 24 hours. And by the way, I got to say, Chick-fil-A has taken a hit in the Christian community on social media.
Yeah.
And other places, and articles and stories. Isn't that fair to say?
No, I think that's absolutely true. Whether it will catch their attention enough to reverse course, we'll find out. That's just one of those things where they are probably big enough to withstand a temporary dip in sales, but you don't want to ruin your brand with your top customers.
Yeah.
So that all remains to be seen. You know, whether you know, Christians, and by the way, we're not advocating people boycott or anything like that. People make up their own minds We're not the boycott kings. We do run boycotts, and we usually
from time to time, they're rare.
Yeah, and we do. If we do one, it's one at a time. So folks have to decide. We're getting the information out there. We certainly we have a petition. If people want to sign it, go to afa.net.
But the petition's asking Chick-fil-A to reverse.
To reconsider.
Reconsider.
We already have 58,000. I need to refresh it too. 58,000 people have signed. We're saying, Chick-fil-A, what we want you to do is reverse course. We want you to stand up for biblical values.
Like
you have in the past. And we would like Chick-fil-A to come out publicly and say that the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Salvation Army aren't hate groups, and we still support biblical marriage.
If they would just say that, I think this would go away pretty quick.
It would go away.
All they need to do is come out, Chick-fil-A, and say, listen, we've supported the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in the past, and they are not hate groups.
Right.
And so we may or may not fund them in the future, but if we don't, it has nothing to do with their beliefs.
But we might. We might fund them in
the
future.
If they would say that, I think this would be over pretty quick.
Right.
But short of that, it is what we all see it to be, and that is a capitulation to the gay and lesbian activist groups who call the Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes hate groups.
And let me just throw, I know we've talked about this a lot, let me just throw this one other thing in, because their explanation of moving away is we want to focus on education, hunger, and homelessness. Well, nobody does hunger and homelessness better than Salvation Army.
Exactly.
They're number one in the world in doing that. So to move away from them, you go, oh, come on, now I'm not buying that. If you really want to go after hunger and homelessness, you would keep funding at least Salvation Army.
Well, even the Salvation Army, who is not known for fits of anger.
Right.
You know, they even released a press statement yesterday that basically said they were offended.
Yes.
That the Chick-fil-A company had basically thrown them under the bus.
Right.
And I thought this is highly unusual for a ministry like Salvation Army, but they felt like they were defending their honor.
Yes.
But Salvation Army did.
And I'm not I'm not even defending the Salvation Army on this issue either. They've done some caving on it.
They have.
So
but that's yes, but
that's beside this
that's
point.
Beside
yes.
this point. But Salvation Army is saying we resent the fact that Chick-fil-A would disassociate themselves from us while moving to another organization that does the same thing we do. So why diss us? So anyway, but I just wanted our listeners to know that we had on more than at least two or three times in the last 24 hours.
Continuing to as well. We're still trying to reach out to them.
Seek a representative to come on the program or on AFR News for an interview on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
Well, we just got a couple seconds. Did you know that Colin Kaepernick has decided he's going to have another workout? He kind of threw a bomb into the middle of his first one, but he says he's going to work out during the owner's meeting. Well, he's going to go to the owner's meeting at in the off season. It brings me
so
up.
So he's going to wait all the way to the summer?
He is. And it gives me an opportunity, Tim, to ask how
No, he's become a sideshow.
Yeah.
Whatever legitimacy he had for a cause that he represented has now been lost because he's become a circus act, I think. And even people on the left are saying that. All right, Brent Creeley, we thank you. Steve Jordahl, we thank Chris Woodward for his 7 words that he contributed to the program.
Poor Chris.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.